For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, for of which we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the Scripture, and pray that you will encourage us and edify us in faith this afternoon as we have come together, that the Word of God may be profitable unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we are looking here in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, we want to consider Jesus Christ as better than angels, but not by angels did he put in subjection all things. That is, he states in a negative way, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come of which we speak. So the Lord Jesus Christ is supreme in that he himself is greater than angels, and that it is not by angels that the world has been put in subjection, but rather by Jesus Christ. As we continue in the book of Hebrews and take particular note of the supremacy or the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that here in the second chapter he goes on to show that God's purpose through the Lord Jesus Christ is that the earth may be not only subject to mankind, which it is, but moreover subject to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the one that shall bring all things in subjection unto him. And so in this verse, the apostle returns, or the writer to the Hebrews, and though it is unknown, many do credit the apostle Paul, but without being dogmatic about it, we have to say the inspired writer returns to the subject which he had been discussing in chapter 1 concerning the superiority of the Messiah over angels. And so we find that the author shows that an honor had been conferred on the Lord Jesus Christ, which had never been bestowed on the angels. So though the angels have some area of prominence, if you will, yet we find that in the Lord Jesus Christ, his place or standing is much greater than that of angels. And so Christ is greater in all these things. We took particular note in the first part of this chapter, in chapter 2, that the author reminds us, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so we realize the importance of the very Word of God and of those things in relationship to salvation through Christ our Lord. We also realize that Christ is in supremacy over all things, whether it be over the sacrificial system, whether it be over angels, or whether it be over any other that came prior to the Lord Jesus Christ by way of revelation. Jesus is the fuller revelation of all these things. And so we find that in the Lord Jesus Christ, he sets forth him who is greater by far than any who came before him. Looking here at verse 5 and 6, verse 6 in particular, but one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" And so we find the psalmist mentions something very particular that the author of Hebrews puts into place here, that there is a preference here to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? We find at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, of course, certain subjection or dominion was given to man, and that subjection was in line with God's plan and purpose, that he may show himself as that one who has been put over creation. God intended that man should have dominion over creation. Now, if we refer to the book of Psalms in chapter 8 and verses 1 through 9, we read these words, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings or angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And so the psalmist gave those wonderful words of how that God had placed man over his creation. But when it comes to Christ, we find that Christ is far greater than man. Christ is that one who, as he has been put in his proper order and place, he is not only superior to angels, he is superior to man, though we find that the Lord Jesus Christ came in like flesh as man. And of course we find that this is one of the things that is also mentioned here in the book of Hebrews, that meant that the Lord Jesus Christ came in human flesh, and he came in the likeness of man, but he came that he might be the one to suffer for the sins of man. And so as we read on in verse 9, he says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, greater than the angels. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given this authority, not only as creator over creation, but as the Savior, higher than the angels, though he is made in human flesh. For a little time he should be like unto man, but yet in the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he would be greater than the angels in all that he is intended to do, for the Savior of the world should be known as the Son of Man, Son of God. The object would soon be likely to make its appearance in Jesus, that is, that angels were inferior to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in his humble condition, he was poor and despised and had no particular external home or dwelling place, but we find that he would have an honor that would be above angels. Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. This objection is met by showing the reason why he became revealed in human flesh. And, of course, that is what we see in verse 9. The reason why he became revealed in human flesh. It was necessary, since the Lord Jesus came to redeem mankind. That is why he had to take upon himself the form of a suffering servant. And so in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 17, and the rest of the reading here, it begins by saying in verse 10, "For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And so the Lord Jesus Christ would take upon himself the form of a suffering servant. And as a suffering servant, he would become the captain of our salvation. And so it was fitting that the Lord should come as a human being into the world, that he might be revealed as the Son of Man, Son of God, as that suffering servant, that he should be the founder, if you will, of our salvation. And in that salvation, we would find that our hopes and dreams, if you will, coming true through the very saving grace of God, that he should taste death for every man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes this. He tastes death for every man. As it says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, "And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." So the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished this great and remarkable thing, that he tasted death for every man, that he redeemed man. He became a man not to take on himself the nature of angels. For the same reason, it was proper that he should be subjected to sufferings and to be made a man of sorrows. And so in verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children whom God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So here it is in verse 14 that it explains fully the reason why Jesus had to take upon himself the form of a man, that he might not only taste death for every man, but he might suffer for us, that he himself might take part or be a partaker of flesh and blood, that he should be able to destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And what did Christ do? But that he died upon the cross for our sins. He was buried for our justification and rose again for our justification. So he was buried 3 days in the tomb. He arose again for our justification, and that we find in his resurrected body, he revealed himself yet again, the Son of God. And so he took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And so it was not by angels that God accomplished his purpose, but by Jesus Christ. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, of which we speak. Now that phrase "world to come" is kind of a unique phrase, and of course it has to do with jurisdiction, as the Lord Jesus Christ has jurisdiction not only of this world but of that which is to come. And we find that the word rendered here for the phrase, that word that brings forth that phrase, world to come, is oikoumena, and it means properly the inhabited or inhabitable world. There's a couple of different ways to look at that. First of all, it nowhere occurs elsewhere in the New Testament. This word doesn't. This word phrase. The proper meaning is the world or earth considered as inhabitable. And so here the idea is control over man or dwellers of the earth. That word phrase, the world to come, though it does not occur anywhere else in the New Testament, it can carry that thought of the world which is to exist after this one is destroyed, the world to come. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to simply redeem the world as it is now. I mean, this is a fallen world. So what did he come to do? He come to redeem man from his sins. And the very nature itself, of course, we know is subject to bondage, Romans chapter 8, and that it groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, Paul says. And we find that it is, the world is even awaiting the time when it should be, the curse should be taken up off from the world, and we no longer suffer under the curse. Because as you remember, early in the book of Genesis, Adam was cursed, and Eve was cursed, and the serpent was cursed, and the very nature of the world and being under this fall of man suffered certain corruption, that it should bring forth thorns and thistles, and even the animal creatures that were formerly at peace with one another were no longer dwelling in peace with one another. And all of mankind and all of the world was subject to the fall. Well, of course, that should be done away with. The world to come, that world which is to exist after this world is destroyed and after the resurrection of the dead, when souls shall be again united to their bodies. What about our own human bodies, you see? What of that world when we shall no longer suffer death as we do now, that Jesus Christ is victorious over sin and death, and the last enemy, which is death, should be dealt with. And so our bodies will have a resurrected form. When the soul shall be again united to the body in its resurrected form. And so we can only imagine what that will be like, but like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection from the dead, Mary, seeing Jesus in the garden, didn't recognize him immediately. The disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize the Lord Jesus until he revealed himself to them. When he was broiling the fish on the shore, and the disciples were in the boat after his resurrection, and they, recognizing that this might be the Lord Jesus Christ, they came ashore and he revealed himself to them. The resurrected form of our Lord was different than his previous. Our resurrected form will be different than it is now. And in that world to come that God shall establish, it will reveal a new world to us. And we probably will all say that will be just tremendous, because we'll get rid of these bodies which corrupt and become tired and worn out and eventually fail us, and we'll have a new resurrected body. And we might wonder, well, what will that body look like? But it will be a resurrected body, one like unto the Lord himself, without the mark or the mar of the fall of man upon it. And so it will be a glorious body. A glorious body, as we say concerning the church, a glorious body without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, perhaps we will be wrinkle-free too. and have this glorious body that God will give to us in our resurrected form, that will in every way be a delight to indwell, as God meant for us to. And Jesus was sent into the world to accomplish all this, to accomplish for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so God purposes to put the earth in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ fully and finally. And that new world which is to come, man has temporary subjection of it, but then not fully even now, because the corruption is upon the earth, and because of that corruption there cannot be fully the subjection of all things even to man. But to the Lord Jesus Christ all things will at last be put in subjection under him. And so he is made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So in redemption and in that world to come, he will fulfill all these things that will be to the glory of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ in his Messiahship shall reign upon the earth. And so it also indicates to us that in that world to come, or that age to come, or dispensation which was to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, not only this dispensation of the age of grace of which we live in, but of that which is to come when he comes again, we know it is a different world that he is talking about. One where he is fully the author and finisher of our salvation and glorification and all that is meant to be accomplished through that. Verse 15, and deliver them who are through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so here is another wonderful benefit, if you will. We who through our lifetime have been subject to the bondage of this world, not only sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to deal with that matter, and we know that though we have the old nature still, we know the Lord Jesus Christ will give us full victory over sin when he comes again, when we finally are with the Lord. So he's going to deliver us completely in that manner. Verse 16, for verily he took not him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham, God himself sending his only begotten son. That the seed of Abraham means then the seed of the promised one, the promised seed that was to come. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all given that promise of that promised seed, and that he should come in the fullness of time. And he came, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, to redeem his people from their sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled that great hope and prophecy. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like his brother, in verse 17, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So ultimately and fully, he, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, became the sacrifice for our sin, and he became a faithful high priest unto us, in that he is the mediator between God and man. And so what the earthly priest could not accomplish, Jesus could accomplish, and he became that high priest for us in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So he hath reconciled us back unto God. That is, we are reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. And so that we find through Christ that our help and our strength and our salvation is fully known unto us. And so, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the worlds to come, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Though angels were truly great messengers of God and used of God in many different ways, yet Jesus is greater still. Though he was made like unto us, a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, yet he by death tasted death for every man, and has become the captain of our salvation. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for Christ, who is greater than angels, superior than all who have come before, that he tasted death for us, and that he became the captain of our salvation. Even in those things yet to come, do we find in Christ that all things shall be put in subjection under him. Lord, we praise you for this wonderful truth and for your grace and mercies to us, and ask your blessing, Father, that we may be faithful in watching until he come again. In Jesus' name, amen.